So I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. You have your Bibles, you can turn there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. So we read there, everyone who believes, present tense, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ from God has been born, perfect tense. So the having been born here comes before the believing. And he says, everyone who loves the one who begets, or the begetter, or we might say the Father, loves also the one born from him. Verse 2. In this we know that we love the children of God. Whenever we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. They're not too hard. Because, verse 4, whatever or whoever is born from God overcomes the world. This is the victory. This is the means for winning a victory that has overcome, has conquered the world. Our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? Verse 5. If not the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I would like to welcome everybody here this morning. If you've come from a long way, it's great to have you here. And if you haven't, it's still great to have you here. So, I was thinking about how we get into those places where it is hard to see ahead in our life. It's hard to see out sometimes. It's hard to find our way. We know that God is powerful, and yet we seem to be stuck for whatever reason, and sometimes it is that way. What does it mean to be victorious? What does it mean to overcome? I read a story about a woman named Maria, not my wife, hopefully. Maria's husband is unemployed. So she supports their three young children by cleaning other people's houses. Even without a job, her husband managed to run up quite a number of unpaid parking tickets. The bills total nearly $5,000. Her husband kept the tickets a secret from his wife, but as the owner of the vehicle, she is responsible. Maria cannot pay the fine unless her husband can come up with the money. She will spend 3 months behind bars in her own town of Poing, Germany. Maria's reaction to this is, I've had enough of scraping a living for my family. As long as I get food and a hot shower every day, I don't mind being sent to jail. I can finally find some rest and relaxation, she says. The police reported that when they came to arrest Maria, she really seemed quite happy to see us. And repeatedly thanked us for arresting her. While most people taken into custody hide their heads in shame, Maria smiled and waved as she was driven off to jail. Is that what it means to be victorious? John says that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Does that mean to be victorious, we will have to flee or be delivered out of this world? Take me now, Jesus. I'm ready. Remember Jonah, camped outside the city of Nineveh, hoping that God would destroy the city. When God is good to the Ninevites, Jonah is mad, and he wished that he was dead. He's not the only prophet that's felt that way. For Jonah to be victorious, did it mean to have God do what he wanted him to do? As in, get rid of the people that he didn't like? And are we upset when God doesn't do what we think he should? What is the struggle that we have? What is it that we are trying to overcome? Remember the people that Jesus fed when he was on earth. Thousands with just a few loaves of fish and bread. It was a crazy time, and the people were in awe of Jesus. So when Jesus disappeared, they were like, "Where did he go? We have to find him." And when they caught up to Jesus on the other side of the lake, he said to them, "You are only chasing after me because I did this miracle with fish and bread, and you ate and you had your fill." Jesus to them was a good source of food. Maybe to have Jesus with them as their food maker, maybe that would feel like victory to them. But Jesus said to them, "Don't work for food that perishes, but for that which endures to eternal life. Don't just come to me for food that doesn't last." Therefore they said to Jesus, "What shall we do so that we may do the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Jesus has already done this sign, but the crowd asked Jesus to do something more so that they can believe in him. What do the people struggle to do? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, John says that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Look at us today. We are saying that we are responsible for global warming and the possible destruction of the planet. And maybe there's some truth to that. If you go back to the very beginning, it was man's decision to disobey God. And because of that, sin entered into the world. And creation is also subject to frustration, Paul says in Romans. Things are not as they are supposed to be on the planet. They are not the way that God made them to be at the beginning. But instead of owning the real reason things are not so great on planet Earth, namely that man sinned and does sin, we have come up with another cause and made ourselves responsible for cleaning up, right? We've made ourselves responsible for cleaning it up, and we are responsible to some degree. But it's not all up to us, is it? And it doesn't seem to me that God is interested, or that the world is interested in turning to God and asking for help. It's not talking about grace. It's talking about us doing the job ourselves. I remember watching a debate in which a rather famous man, Christopher Hitchens, was debating. And I think it may have been another Christian that he was debating, or perhaps it was David Berlinski. And Christopher was asked which teaching in Christianity he disliked the most. And he pointed out that he found the message of the cross particularly troubling, that Jesus had to take responsibility for us and die for our sins. He found, he said, to be a repulsive teaching. And he thought, it is a teaching that would cause further irresponsibility in those who believed it. Christopher Hitchens probably spoke for a lot of people. The message of grace is hard to believe. We got to do it ourselves, we think. And Christopher was quite strong on that point. We can't ask for help, and we can't expect someone else to do it for us. We have to shoulder our own burden. That's what he said. It's hard to believe that we need God's help. It's hard to believe that we should ask God for help. We did it. It's our problem. We have to fix it. We can't accept help. But we can't fix it ourselves. Humanity seems to be stuck there. This whole mass of humanity seems to be stuck there. We can't get past our pride and our fear and our self-loathing, etc. Our problem as humans isn't necessarily that we can't admit that we've made a mistake. Our problem is that we don't realize the seriousness of our mistake, of our sin. That there is no way out unless Jesus helps us, unless God helps us. What is it that we struggle to do? To believe in Jesus. To live in a believing recognition of the eternal Son, as someone has said. That's why we need to be born again. Born from above. Born of God, as John says in his first letter. We are not living in the real world without Jesus. And that is why faith is such a miracle. Being able to believe in Jesus, to know him. And John wants to impress this on his listeners, the miracle of their faith. This is an awesome thing, that you believe in Jesus. It is an encouraging thing that you believe in Jesus. It is an empowering thing that you believe in Jesus. How does John do this? He says that their present state of believing is the result of having been born of God. They are children of God. The one who believes, present tense, that Jesus is the Christ, from God has been born. And the one who loves, the one who causes someone to be born again, the one who loves the begetter, loves also the ones who have been born from him. The present state of faith, believing that Jesus is the Christ, is the result of having been born of God. Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born from above. Sometimes the word just means above. In this case, it means above as in heaven, as in from God. When Jesus tells that to Nicodemus, Nicodemus is a ruler in the synagogue. He is probably a fairly old man because he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Using a term that describes a fairly old man. He's a wise man. He probably has money. And yet he sees something in Jesus that he doesn't have. And he's not too proud to ask or to come looking or searching. So he comes to Jesus. And Jesus says right off the bat, he says, you can't see, behold the kingdom, unless you are born from above. And something kind of gets stuck in Nicodemus' mental gears when he hears Jesus say this. He says to him in chapter 3 of John, verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb, can he? And Jesus says, I say to you, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it. You see the leaves move in the trees. But you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Jesus says, or Nicodemus says, how can these things be? How can a man be born again? And Jesus doesn't really tell him how, except that it is done through the Spirit. We don't know how the Spirit does it, but we notice the results. Unless one is born from on high, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you are born of God, you can see kingdom things. You can understand spiritual things. You are growing in your understanding of spiritual things. You see Jesus for who he is. In 1 John 5:1, the one who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born again, or born from God. He uses those two words there. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus in the flesh, the man, is the Christ, is the anointed one who God promised to send. And we read, the one who has begotten, the one who loves the Father, also loves the other children who have been born of God. Another result of being born again is that we love those who have been born of God. We love our brothers and sisters, even if they're from the Netherlands or from down south, it doesn't matter. We love the children of God. How do we know that we love the children of God? John says, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. John sees love for God and his children as inseparable. A love for God's children comes from a deep love for God in the first place. And Jesus commanded us to love each other. And John goes on, for this is love for God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Like Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Right? His commandments are burdensome. They are not too hard. Why? John goes on, verse 4, because whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. So there's this power, this strength inside the believer that helps him or her overcome the world. Whoever is born of God believes, loves, and keeps, and now John says, overcomes or is victorious. And this is the victory or the overcoming that has overcome the world. Verse 4 continues, our faith. Our faith is the victory. We've heard the song, perhaps, faith is the victory. What is our faith? John further defines our faith by saying, verse 5, and who is the one who overcomes the world, if not the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So he's right back at the beginning now, in the beginning of chapter 5. Who is the one who overcomes the world, if not the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So God asks us to a place where we are utterly dependent on him. We are dependent on him. We have to understand the seriousness of our sin. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot be good enough on our own. Jesus has paid the price for us on the cross. Maybe we're at a place like that now. I can't do it on my own. We must be born again. We have to have God do something in us so that we can live a life of faith, so that we can trust Jesus, so that we can love each other. If we are able to know Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to trust him, John encourages us. This is a result of having been born of God. Do you believe in Jesus? Not just that he was a good guy. Not that he was a person in history that lived one time and inspired people. But do you believe that he's the Son of God? And that he was sent to this world particularly for me and for you? For every person in this world. And that he died on the cross for my sin. The seriousness of my sin is what kept me from God. And Jesus had to pay the penalty for that sin on the cross. Do we believe in Jesus? John further defines our faith by saying in verse 5, "And who is the one who overcomes the world if not the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Isn't this a huge thing for us as human beings? Isn't it? The whole world is can't seem to see that. If we lack assurance, if we don't feel victorious, John is encouraging us that if we believe in Jesus, we have been born of God. And he is also encouraging us to exercise our faith. We need to trust Jesus and we need to love the body of Christ. Because Jesus is real to me, because I live in the reality of Jesus, because I know he loves me and he has forgiven me, because I know I don't have to prove myself to you anymore because I am accepted in the sight of God through his Son Jesus Christ, I'm free. Not to take, but to give. And if we can do this, if we can love like Jesus loved sacrificially, then it is also proof that we have been born of God. Peter says that, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We need to be hopeful about the future, about what God wants to do. We need to be hopeful. Some of us are in situations right now where we don't see much hope, maybe. We know someone we love, we care about. And we don't see much hope. But God says we have been born to a living hope. Jesus has risen from the dead. He is not in the grave. And we have been born to a living hope. He lives. And because of that, all things are possible. And I will not give up on him. I will pray. I will spend time on my knees and I will pray. Because Jesus is alive. We need to be hopeful about the future, about what God wants to do. We need to pray for one another. We need to encourage one another and we need to exhort one another. Why? Because we have been born of God. and because the power is there in us. And maybe we don't feel it, but maybe if we exercise it, we will begin to understand that. And we begin to trust, and we begin to hope, or we work on our hope and trust. The one who is born of God overcomes the world. John says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. What does he mean? That bad things happen in the world all the time? No, that's not what he means. But he means that the whole world doesn't accept the message of Christ. And the message of grace is rather foreign in the world. But we have overcome that if we believe in Jesus. So we understand and we apply the message of grace to our lives and to others. Let's pray. Father, as we gather together this morning, in front of you, the one who loves us deeply in your Son Jesus, and the one who has sent Jesus into this world for us to live out a holy life and to die on the cross so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Father, we come to you who sent his Son Jesus into the world so that we might live through him, so that we might be born of God, we might exercise faith in you. Father, we pray that you would help us as your children. We need you. We need your strength, Father, to live in this world, to trust you, and to love other people. Have mercy on us and guide us, Father, I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.